morning comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2. Listen now for God's holy word. Paul writing to Timothy says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings should be made for everyone, for kings, for all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires that everyone would be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humanity, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. The grass may wither and the flowers may fade. The beautiful leaves on the trees may fall, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen." This week we move into the third sermon drawn from Paul's words to his fellow minister Timothy in the letters we have of 1 and 2 Timothy. In the letter of 1 Timothy, Paul is sending Timothy to make a positive impact in the church in Ephesus. And here are the steps, the advice that we have heard from Paul so far to see Timothy achieve that goal of making a positive impact. The first message was to start with reminding people of the gospel. If the church in Ephesus is going to truly solve its issues and problems, if things are going to go well for them, then the starting point, Paul reminds us, God reminds us, has to be found in God's love and forgiveness and the transformative power of the Spirit and grace. Paul tells Timothy to call people back to the gospel message. Start there. Make sure that people are hearing and remembering what got us into this whole Christianity thing to begin with. And it's the gospel. The gospel of God's love for us in Christ Jesus, which has brought about our forgiveness and the gift of new life. According to Paul, believing this gospel gives us a pure heart, a heart that knows that it is accepted by God and forgiven. It gives us a good conscience, a transformed mind from which we can make good decisions. And it gives us a sincere faith. A sincere faith, knowing that we are in God's care and in God's hands, and nothing can come between us and God's plan for us, not even death itself. In the second message that we heard from these letters to Timothy, we heard God calling us to look at ourselves in the way that God looks at us. There are all kinds of other messages out there in the world that try to define us and tell us who we are and what we can and can't accomplish. And we heard God imploring us not to believe in those profane myths and old wives' tales. Instead, we are to believe the tale that God has told for us. We talked about how for us, many of the old wives' tales that we struggle with are the tales that we tell ourselves. We tell ourselves that we just aren't that important, or that we really can't make a difference in this world. And we believe these old wives' tales that we tell ourselves rather than believing the story that God has told about us, that we are beloved and precious of God, and that God, through God's power and direction and transformative faith and the Holy Spirit, God can use us to transform this world and to bless people's lives. We are God's agents of grace and salvation. And if we don't believe that about ourselves, then of course we are bound to miss the opportunities in our lives to share God's grace and salvation with others. Instead, we'll walk through life with our heads down, just trying to stay out of people's way. If week one was about returning to the gospel, and week two was about examining what we believe about ourselves, then this week, Paul's focus moves to our thoughts and our actions in regards to everybody else. This week, we hear Paul instructing Timothy to remind the people of the church in Ephesus about how their relationship to God has a bearing on their relationship to all people. In this passage, Paul shares an amazing message about the universal love of God for all of humanity. Paul explains his understanding, his belief, that God sent Christ Jesus into this world for the sake of everyone. God loves this world and the people of this world. And from the starting point of that divine love, which brought about our salvation, We as Christians are called to share that same divine love and care and concern, that same divine perspective on the people in this world around us. In these verses, Paul expresses the belief that, quote, God wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, end quote. Praise God. Praise God. God wants everyone to be saved. God created this world, and God as creator loves what God has made. When humanity drifted away from God, when we were pulled away from God, when we became distant from God, God did something about it. God sent Jesus into this world to redeem us, to draw us back again. And those who don't yet know about salvation, those who have not yet had the experience of having their hearts washed pure, having their consciences and their minds transformed, and those who do not yet know that they can put their faith and trust in God, God's desire is that everyone would come to know the blessings of those transformational experiences. God wants everyone to be saved. God wants this world redeemed. God has a claim on everyone and everything. And accordingly, Paul implores Timothy to remind the church in Ephesus not to just focus on themselves, but to pray for everyone, to give thanks for everyone, to offer prayers and intercessions for everyone. God has made Jesus the mediator between God and humanity. And as Jesus' body here on earth, as his hands and his feet, as his voice, and as the manifestation of his heart here in this world, we as Jesus' servants share in his role of mediating the relationship between God and humanity. We have a part to play in helping to mediate God's relationship to others, God's relationship to our friends, to our family members, to our coworkers, our neighbors, and anyone whom God might draw into our lives. Earlier this year, we did a series of studies related to the idea of evangelism. And part of the reason why is because God has been putting on my heart this holy sense of unrest. We want people to know the blessings of God's love. We want the roots of faith that are starting to grow in people's hearts. We want those roots to find good soil to grow and to flourish. But doing that kind of ministry is just not something that many of us have much experience doing. We're used to doing our best to put on good and inspiring worship services, to offer Bible studies, to lead Sunday school classes. But when it comes to talking to other adults in our lives about faith and God and belief, whoa, we just don't know where to start. It's scary and intimidating. So for me, the goal of our study earlier this year in that sermon series on evangelism was to try and learn more about how we can help people to come to the blessings of a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. How can we help point people and help people towards a closer and fuller relationship with God? For the past couple of years, I've been yearning and searching and reading and praying and trying to learn more about how we can do this. And I'm happy to report that God is good. With God's help and with the help of the authors I've been reading and with the help of my colleagues in ministry, I have continued to learn and grow in my own understandings and practices of trying to help cultivate faith in others. This fall, I took on a new leadership position within our classes. Our classes is the regional body of churches that we are a part of. And here, and I'm the new co-leader of the new ministries and evangelism team within the classes. And this fall, the team members and I have been learning together about how to point people in the direction of a closer relationship with God, how to point people towards deepening their relationship with God, where they too can receive a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. This team and I have been getting advice from someone who is seasoned in this work within our denomination. We've been reading together, and we've been prayerfully discussing and sharing our thoughts and our experiences in this work of helping others to come and know God and grow in their relationship with God. And it's been really exciting. It's been really fun and exciting and thrilling to be talking about these things and to start practicing them as well, and to have a group of people to throw ideas off of and to share experiences with. And I think God has been moving through me in these last few weeks and months, speaking through the work of that committee, and this week, especially through this passage from 1 Timothy. My friends, we can play a role in helping others to develop a relationship with God. We really can do that. And what's really wonderful is that doing this work begins with the simple practice that all of us can do. Even my daughters can do this. It begins with prayer. It begins with prayer. Paul explains in our passage that God wants everyone to be saved. And Paul implores the church in Ephesus to pray for everyone. God implores us, my friends, in our love for God's people, to pray, to begin helping others come to faith. The starting point is simply to pray for them. This is what Paul tells Timothy, but it is also the advice given and shared by Christians who are seasoned in the work of helping to cultivate faith in others. We were discussing this recently at our class's team meeting, this new committee team that I'm a part of, and we were encouraging one another to do this very simple and yet profound practice, something which each and every one of you can do, and I encourage you to do. We were talking about doing the simple practice of sitting down and prayerfully wondering to God who it is in your life right now that you can help develop a closer relationship to God. Who in my life right now, God, can I help grow in their relationship with you? Not who in my life has the most problems right now, necessarily. Not who in my life can I bring to the Blauenberg Reformed Church. Not who in my life do I feel most guilty or worried about. But dear God, who in my life can I help draw closer to you or point closer to you? I did this a few weeks ago. I took a journal off my bookcase, whom a friend from the Colts Neck Reformed Church gave to me many years ago, and I opened it up and I prayerfully asked God, who are the 5, 6, 7, 8 people in my life right now whom you, God, are working in their hearts, and you have put them in my life so that I can help draw them closer to you? And I wrote those people's names down. And it's a prayerful act to do that. It's a prayerful act to write those people's names down, because it forces you into the intentional space of caring for those people and caring for their faith and desiring that you would see and recognize and hear and take advantage of the opportunity to bless those people, including to bless them in terms of their relationship to God. So we were sharing in this committee meeting about this experience of simply taking out a journal, writing a few people's names down, and then praying for those people. Dear God, help me to bless these people. And as we shared this advice, people shared their stories of either having done this recently or in the past. An elder from one of our churches, hearing about this practice sparked a memory in her from when she was a kid. And she grew up in a church where in Sunday school, they were encouraged to do this. They were encouraged to pray for their friends, specifically that they would help their friends know God. She was just a little Sunday school kid, and she prayed that prayer in Sunday school on Sunday morning. And she said the very next day on the playground at school, one of her friends came running up to her and said, "Hey, you're a Christian. I have a question. You can answer it." Right? Okay. That was one story. And then one of my colleagues, one of our other ministers in the classes, shared the experience of doing this as well. She, like me, took a list out and wrote a few people's names down on that list. And she was doing that, and she felt the urge of the Holy Spirit to put a name down on that list. And she was terrified to do it, okay? It was a person that she knew from the dog park. She takes her dogs to a dog park, and there's a whole community of people there that are getting to know each other. And she's known as a minister already at the dog park. People know that she's a minister. And the Holy Spirit was nudging her. Put that one guy's name down on the list. And my colleague said, I don't want to, right? Because she, like all of us, is worried and hesitant and fearful of coming across as the kind of person who's trying to jam Jesus down somebody's throat, right? But the Holy Spirit was nudging her to put that name on the list. So somewhat reluctantly, she did. She put his name on the list. And the very next time she went to the dog park, she and the other dog parents were gathered together. And the man who she had put the name on the list said to her, so what's the good news? And she said that her heart started to flutter, you know? And she gave a pat and polite response. I don't know what it was, but it was probably something like, we could imagine, the weather's so beautiful. It's been so gorgeous. The leaves on the trees are looking so nice. I'm so glad that it stopped raining. She said something polite and pat. She dodged. And the guy responded and he said, no, I mean, what are you preaching tomorrow? Okay? A simple spiritual practice. Put some names on a list and begin to pray. Doing this takes yourself seriously. It's an act of taking yourself seriously as someone who can bless others by helping to point them in the direction of God. It doesn't mean that you have to preach someone a sermon. It doesn't mean that you have to answer a question about the ins and outs of double predestination. All that it means for now is that you are praying that God would, through the Holy Spirit and the transformation that God has already made in your life, help you to be aware of the opportunities to point people in the direction of a closer relationship with God. Believe the gospel. Believe the story that God has told about you, and then pray. Pray for all people, but then also write down like 5 or 6 on a list and pray for them. Thanks be to God. Amen.